Making After School Cool.
Welcome to the Making After School Cool podcast, the link between research, practice, and theory for those who are interested in the activities youth are involved with during non-school hours. The Making After School Cool podcast is produced by Case for Kids, a division of Harris County Department of Education. And I'm your host, Mike Wilson. Presently, in many communities, there has been much discussion concerning the relationship existing among residents and local police officers. Unfortunately, it seems like there's a disproportionate number of negative stories involving police officers, either on the nightly news or on social media, than positive ones. In addition, nationally, there appears to be divisive opinions regarding issues such as police funding and videos of alleged excessive force. However, we seldom hear about the important role police officers play in our communities and their positive actions. Today's topic of discussion for the Making After School Cool podcast is building positive relationships among the police, youth, and the communities they serve. Based on the results of a focus group conducted by the Department of Justice Police Executive Research Forum, there are promising practices that help police departments build trusting relationships with community members. They include the following. Police should be aware of past negative experiences individuals have with the police. African Americans in particular have a history of being marginalized and mistreated by the police, leading to a lack of trust and resentment. Transparency is essential to positive police community relationships. Therefore, when a critical incident occurs, agencies should try to release as much information as possible, as soon as possible. All officers should receive levels of training on diversity, implicit bias, and cultural competency. Personal interactions between police officers and community members build mutual trust, which is essential to addressing neighborhood problems and reducing crime. Departments should work to recruit people who want to become officers. Based on a realistic understanding that the large majority of police officers' time is spent addressing community requests, and that actual law enforcement is a much smaller percentage of their time. Here in the Houston area, we are fortunate to have a police-led program that not only builds relationships, but educates teens and adults about the duties and concerns of policing. The Teen and Police Service Academies, better known as TAP Academy, mission is to reduce the social distance between at-risk youth and law enforcement. This is accomplished through learning, interaction, and discussion between at-risk youth and the law enforcement personnel who serve their communities. Through this program, the two groups gain valuable insight into each other and the issues they face daily. To speak on the TAPS Academy is my guest, Dr. Everett Penn. Dr. Penn is a professor of criminology at the University of Houston Clear Lake and has researched the social distance between youth and law enforcement throughout his career. In December of 2016, the TAPS Center opened in Houston with a vision to be the international leader in reducing the social distance between youth and law enforcement through research, training, teaching, and programming. Good day, Dr. Penn, and welcome to the Making After School Cool podcast. How are you doing today?
I am great, Mike. I want to just thank you for such a wonderful introduction that informed your listeners and allowed folks to know about what we do as we bring research and theory and to practice. Just wonderfully done there, and thank you so much for that great introduction.
Oh, our pleasure, and I applaud you for what you've been doing and for taking time today to be our guest. First, I would like to start with, what was your motivation to start TAPS? And for our listeners, can you describe the services your program offers?
Indeed, glad to. The way I hear the story, because I wasn't privy to be in it all, but I hear it like this, is that back in 2011, our then police chief, Charles McClellan of the Houston Police Department, was challenged as a new chief coming in, maybe in 4 or 5 months he had been in office, and he had realized that there was a lack of youth and police programming. Many of those programs had been cut because of the financial crisis that Houston, along with other cities, was currently in. Well, he had a meeting, sat his assistant chiefs down, and said to them that I am aware of this opportunity from the Department of Justice, specifically the COPS office, for us to apply for funds to do programming that will bring youth and police together. I understand he has 10, 12 assistant chiefs around the table, and only one raises his hand, and that is Assistant Chief Brian Lumpkin, who I must say, unfortunately, passed in May of this year. So we certainly give our condolences to him, his family, and all that knew him. And at that time, I was the coordinator, the department chair of the criminology department at University of Houston Clear Lake, and Brian Lumpkin was one of the adjunct professors. So Brian Lumpkin calls me and says, "Hey Doc, we have an opportunity here to apply for a grant here with the Department of Justice here at the Houston Police Department. Are you interested?" Well, I think he didn't complete the sentence, and of course I said yes, very much interested. So we worked and worked and worked and worked, and I tell you, what was in the back of our mind and then moved to the forefront of our mind was the Chad Holly case of 2009. That Chad Holly case, put aside what your negatives or positives are about Chad Holly, the young man, but look at what happened. That video is still available. And to see Houston police officers kicking and punching this young man in a submissive position. Well, that was on our mind. And I must tell you, from working with the Houston Police Department as a civilian for the last 10 years, that it is that hard work of dedication, of listening to the citizens, being involved with the citizens, that has been money in the bank, that I think has allowed the Houston citizen to see bad officers, but not an entire bad police department. Well, that was the case, that 2009 Chad Holly case had us focused. And I think it's only because of the hard work of these Houston police officers we haven't had our Ferguson or Baltimore or some other city. Using that as our motivation, we said, why don't we create an opportunity for the most at-risk youth, those that have the most dislike and distrust for the police, for whatever reason, perhaps being maltreated themselves, parents being maltreated, a vicarious experience, personal experience, social media, those that have the most negative experience with police, and give them an opportunity to interact, same footing, equal footing with police officers, and allow for dialogue and lessons to be learned. Well, we thought about it and we said, where are we going to find these youth? We then went to Beachnut Academy, some know it as the old CEP, right over there on Beachnut. And at that time in 2011, it was this huge former Walmart that moved from having maybe 100 kids in the beginning of the school year to 700, 800, 900 by the end of the school year. Those middle school and high school students that had a difficult time in their school were put out of their school and placed into this alternative education opportunity. We talked to the personnel there, talked to the personnel in HISD, and they said yes. And so we looked at the Citizens Police Academy, looked at DARE, GREAT, and other programs, and said, we're going to build a curriculum that's going to have an opportunity for these youth to interact positively with police and police to positively interact with these youth. Both parties will learn and better themselves from this interaction. Well, we applied. We called the program the Teen and Police Service Academy. And in August of that year, we found out that indeed we were awarded a grant from the COPS office. We then had to go through the long process, the administrative process of getting everything done, had to be approved by the Houston City Council. It was in December of 2011, and we started our first class in February of 2012. We then started at that time with 15 weeks, meeting twice a week. It was a difficult time to start such a program. The first week is wonderfully difficult. I'll say wonderfully difficult because there's some great things that come from it, and only from difficult experiences can you have positives. But what we find is through this curriculum that now is 11 weeks, in which officers and youth meet about an hour and a half, 2 hours, that we have an opportunity for youth to be very honest with police to be very honest with you. And we have curriculum that goes into conflict mediation, drugs, alcohol, 20-year plan, team building, leadership, safe driving, victimization, that moves both parties together to learn from each other. Mentorship occurs on both sides. And as we build through, we start to see the relationships reduce their social distance, meaning greater understanding is achieved, where I'm not seeing you from the characteristic of just being a youth. The youth are not just seeing you as a characteristic of being a law enforcement. They start to see the person. They start to see the positive individual characteristics of the person. And it's just a wonderful process to see them grow and develop from each other.
Wow, sounds like you've done some incredible work. you mentioned earlier that negative incidents involving police and community members has resulted in a distrust relationship between both parties. So when you started this, did you ever find it challenging to recruit and engage students to be a part of the TAPS Academy program?
Indeed, we do. Now we are in last semester, the spring semester of 2021, we were in 14 HISD schools and several locations around the country, including the Caribbean. And then this fall here in HISD, with the partnership now with the Houston Independent School District and now Chief Lopez, we will be in 30 plus HISD schools, high schools and middle schools. Just to put it into perspective before I fully answer your question, we moved from a process of just being a TAPS Academy and knowing that there were difficulties in first recruiting youth and second finding the time in their busy school day for this program to be a part of their educational experience. We had no problem from principals and wraparound specialists and others saying, we want this program, it's great, it's positive, the curriculum is great. Well, we heard that. We took our curriculum over to TEA, and those of you who are familiar with TEA, I'm making this sound very easy, but we took it over there, they reviewed it, and they said, wonderful. They granted us an innovative course that now allows us to grant one academic credit to high school students upon completion of the course. The course is called TEENPOL, T-E-N-N space P-O-L. It's available to any high school student in the state of Texas. The curriculum, the TEKS, et cetera, are available through looking at innovative courses. It allows police officers to come in, follow a curriculum that allows for this one credit to be earned. Why did that come about? Because so many people were asking for us to be a part of their programming at their school, but had a hard time fitting it into the day. So the answer became, why don't we see about making this a class, just like any other math class, science class, English class? So now we're able to build this into the day and have these students that are the most at risk, that have had difficult situations with their principal, wraparound, and other people in the community to allow them to earn credit with this class. How do we recruit our students? That is one of the easier parts of what we do. Any high school principal, any high school wraparound knows those students that have had a tremendously difficult life, that have had experiences that are just extraordinary and need an opportunity to be members of the community, to be positive members of the community, building on those experiences in order to have better relationships between police and youth. Yes, we have at-risk factors that we follow. Maybe there has been an academic issue in the past, parents on drugs, alcohol, or those negatives. But what we often find is that these students have a lot to say, and they have a lot to give back to the community to allow for better relationships between police and youth. Those are the ones that the wraparound specialists, the principals, the teachers have no problem finding for us. They then talk to the parents, make sure the parents are okay with it. And often the parents are saying, great, please allow for this experience to take place because we have had the negative experiences and we want to get around those problems. When we gained that one credit from TEA for high school students, we then ran into another problem. Dr. Penn, your program is great at high schools such as Sterling, Wheatley, Worthing, Yates, wonderful. What about the middle school students? So we then looked, we then went back to TEA, we then reviewed, and they said, fine. We now offer our course for eighth graders. So look what we're able to do. We're able to go to younger students who are 13, 14, 12 years of age, allow them to have a positive experience with police, allow police to have a positive experience with them, and it's not always positive in the beginning, but at the end it does, and we'll talk about the research and the findings in just a moment. But not only have this great experience to take with them out into the world and when they're not on campus, they also receive that high school credit. So we all know, as those that study education, that if you have a child bonded to school, doesn't necessarily mean they have to be an A student, but at least bonded to school, like school, attend school, think that it's a safe and good place, you will have more of a likelihood of him or her finishing school. We like that. And we're trying to help with that, with having them go through this course and finish the course and leave the eighth grade with one high school credit before they even enter the door of high school. So we're very proud of that. We're very proud that TEA sees our curriculum as one that is necessary and applied and available to high school and now middle school students. And the numbers seem to also show us that we're doing a good job there. So we're very happy with that. So finding the students is not difficult. As a matter of fact, there are some schools where we offer two classes of our teen poll, and at times we didn't have enough officers to meet the demand of the schools who are interested in having either TAPS Academy or a teen poll.
Well, it sounds like you're doing some excellent work. And because of your success regarding police and community relationship building, it appears that other police departments across the country have started replicating the TAPS Academy model. Why do you think the program is so successful?
The question that you're asking is one that I hope folks around the country and internationally are listening to. We went through a very difficult time last year with the death of George Floyd, and just the constant reminder of the scission that exists between police and citizens. The next layer of understanding that is that of issues of race, and then probably the layer after that are gender and socioeconomic issues. We have a choice. We can either say that these populations of citizen and police are not going to get along, and that's just the way things go, and we'll just continue to have these horrific experiences occur. Or we can make the right choice to say, what have we learned? What has research taught us? What are we prepared to take and to apply theory to practice to allow for better relationships between youth and police? We at the TAPS Academy follow the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing. This document under President Obama came out in 2015 after the horrific experiences of Trayvon Martin, even though that case was not directly between police and youth. It was an individual who did not listen to the police and then found himself in a scuffle with an individual. And unfortunately, Trayvon Martin leaves dead from that situation. But we now have a model from the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing that tells us six pillars of importance to build better relationships and add to trust and legitimacy of police officers. The research is extremely clear. When a community trusts and believes in the legitimacy of the police department, you have better policing taking place. You have less crime occurring. You have more solving of crime taking place. It's simple as that. When the police are trusted by their community, you have better policing. When police are not trusted by the community, there is a scission, separation, division, social distance between citizens and community, us versus them. So our solution is to use what the research tells us, 21st century policing through the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing, apply that in a manner that allows for youth and police to come together. That is our principle that we follow. And other departments around the country and even in the Caribbean are seeing this model and saying, it's not about police officers knocking down doors and saying us versus them. It's about how do we build relationships? No doubt, the police always have to be the law enforcement. No question about that. But can't law enforcement, can't the safety of the officers be better and enhanced when there is a relationship between the citizens and the police? You hit that relationship at a younger age with that 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old individual. He then, she then spreads it out to brothers, sisters, friends, etc. We have so many examples of the relationships built, positive relationships built in TAPS that have saved lives, not just the lives of officers, but the lives of citizens, the lives of youth and others, because they now have trust in the police. The police have trust in the youth, safety first for both. that allows for better understanding and better interaction. It's not, I'm fearful of you, so therefore I'm going to have my guard up at the highest levels, and any move that you make will result in perhaps violence from me. That moves on. So some of our sites that we have, including Columbus, Ohio, El Paso, of course here in Houston, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the Caribbean with St. Kitts, U.S. Virgin Islands, Las Vegas, and please pardon me, I'm leaving out so many others, built on folks seeing what we do and saying that they need a response to better the relationship between youth and police. So we're so glad for that to happen as we put theory to practice and have the research to support what we do.
Well, I have to say your work is definitely needed, and it's timely, because I think so often we get just the negative side of policing. Yes. And that's only, you know, a few officers. And unfortunately, we neglect the positive side and the hard work and the dedication that the majority of the officers put forth. So indeed, I'm glad this model is starting to take off. With your affiliation with the University of Houston Clear Lake, which is an institution that offers a minor in youth and police studies, how important is it for law enforcement personnel to continue to be aware of the latest research regarding their profession?
I like your questions. Boy, you sound like someone who's been in some of my classes. I mean, theory to hit practice. Well, first of all, let me give my shout out to my institution, University of Houston Clear Lake. I've been a faculty member there since 2004. Before that, I was at Prairie View A&M University and was one of the founding faculty members of the PhD program in juvenile justice. So juvenile justice has always been, the youth has always been something very, very interesting to me and my research interest since entering this field. University of Houston Clear Lake has the only minor in youth and police studies. We believe that this field is one that can become a subfield of criminology and criminal justice. There are programs that, of course, have police studies. There are programs in universities that have youth studies, adolescent studies. But where is a place that combines the knowledge of both fields, policing and youth, and the interaction that we know is so contentious when they often come together to allow us to better understand theory, research, and practice to allow for police departments to do their job better, after-school workers, teachers, Boys and Girls Club workers, and all those that interact with youth and could interact when seeing the interaction between youth and police? Where is a place that's allowing research and practice to come together? This place is the University of Houston Clear Lake. And I'll tell you, we're not just laying on the idea of a minor in youth and police studies. We're moving forward to the idea of building a center, a youth and police center, to be the nucleus, to be the home base for an international understanding of the youth and police relationship that brings together the academic rigor of the university along with practice, with police officers, police professionals, teachers, after-school workers, child care workers, etc., to understand this complex relationship that exists out there. So yeah, you're going to be hearing more about the University of Houston Clear Lake. And let me just point out, the University of Houston Clear Lake has produced chiefs in this field, that not only Charles McClellan, who was the former chief of the Houston Police Department, is a graduate from the University of Houston Clear Lake. Not only is Chief Lopez, current chief of the Houston Independent School District, a graduate of the University of Houston Clear Lake Criminology Program, but the current Houston Police Chief, Troy Finner, is a graduate, former student of mine, proud former student of mine, is a graduate of the University of Houston Clear Lake. So we think we are well positioned through our scholarship, through our theory, practice, teaching, training, to be the place that is going to be the creation of the Youth and Police Center as early as 2022.
I have to also say that I got my master's in education from the University of Houston Clear Lake. So,
oh my God, producing everywhere. Look at that. You know, it's funny you should say that. that so often UH Clear Lake takes on this persona of kind of being that South Houston, okay, people know we're there, we're kind of off of 45, we're on your way to Galveston Institution, but it's interesting to find so many people in education and criminal justice who have moved on to management positions, leadership positions, find their home and their roots at University of Houston Clear Lake.
Exactly. I'm a proud graduate. So
wonderful.
Now, I know you do a lot of services for youth. Do you offer things for parents and other community members?
When we look at what we do with youth, we're very happy with that there. We're very happy to see youth come into TAPS Academy with feelings of lowness of respect, trust, and like of the police. We're able to see when one finishes the TAPS Academy, that moves up 30, 40, 50% with things like, trust, respect the police. Would I call the police in an emergency? Do I believe police will treat me fairly? We often ask the police officers, what are their thoughts about the youth? And interesting enough, the police officers will say something of this nature. I thought I understood youth of today. But the more and more I spend time with the youth, the more and more I realize that there are challenges that they face. Challenges in their community, challenges with their family, challenges in the educational system, social media, and all of these negative things coming at them that they have to overcome. So one of the areas in which we must further develop is not just getting the youth, but also getting the parent. So one of the programs that has been developed, we've tested it in a site or two, is to have, as there are parent-teacher meetings and conferences, to have our youth to be involved to teach their parents some of the skills that they've learned, some of the things that they've learned through TAPS Academy. We'll be really implementing this in the fall. We look forward to that there because we know, yeah, we can spend a lot of time with these youth, but it's their family environment, their social environment that has a lot to play on the decisions that they will make. So we want to help them with those social, with those decisions. We call it social capital, to improve their social capital, to know that there is help out there, resources that are out there to help them, whether it be with their homework, whether it be filling out a FAFSA to go to college, whether it be to find work after high school. We want to be a resource to help them. And that's going to involve having access to not only the student, but also the parent and working together, because often the parents have a negative view of the police. So we have to have them to have an opportunity to ask questions, to interact with the police, so we can have those relationships move forward for all people, fairness for all people when interacting out here in the public.
You mentioned earlier about some research and some data that you have since you've done this work regarding the success and the impact that you guys have had on the police department. The success and impact that you've had on the students that you work with. Can you share some of that information with us?
Indeed. It's the researcher in us. It's coming from a university environment that says to us, we cannot simply fall back on the proverbial thought of we're doing good. As long as we feel we're doing good and we have a few people say that we're doing good, that's okay. The reason why we don't follow that is because we've looked at past programs, social programs, community programs that have fallen by the wayside because they were not constantly conducting research and evaluating themselves. So with every TAPS Academy, we have a pretest that is done with the students before they meet or interact with the police officers. This pretest asks them questions such as, what are their feelings toward the police? Trust, like, respect, reasons why they may feel that way. And ask them to honestly answer those questions. Their identity is not known for that. They are given a number, just like any other research, and we just know them as number 99, what have you. They're put in and given to another person, a separate entity that inputs that information and then allows for analysis to take place. Then they meet the police officers. Then they go through either Teen Poll or TAPS Academy. And then after they complete Teen Poll or TAPS Academy, they conduct a post-test. Similar questions of asking their thoughts and beliefs about the police. We see the rise of numbers 30, 40, 50% from pre-test to post-test. And we constantly look at those numbers to ask ourselves, how is this occurring? What's important? The qualitative information we hear from the students about what's occurring. And what we often hear qualitatively from the students is, this is the first time I have had access to a police officer in which I wasn't in the back of a police car, I wasn't in handcuffs, I wasn't on a car, and they weren't harassing me. I can now have an opportunity through TAPS Academy class or through Teen Pole class to speak with them honestly about some of the things that they do that I don't like. Why is it that you come to my car when my mom is driving and your hand is on the gun, but I've seen with other people, you don't have such an aggressive stance? Why is it that I'm walking down the street and you're bothering me when there are other people doing more serious activities than what I'm ever doing? Why don't you call me by my name? Why do you call me out of my name? Honest conversations that require us to train up our TAPS Academy officers. First, they're screened by leadership of their police department to have the right temperament to be TAPS Academy officers. They're then trained up and they're prepared not to be their rough, tough police officer, but to be ambassadors that are looking to improve the relationship by listening and allowing youth to be on active and equal footing with them, to allow for them to take back information to their fellow officers, to allow for a more and better positive relationship between the youth, the citizens, their parents, and others, and police.
Dr. Perrin, thank you so much for being my guest on the Making After School Cool podcast. And I have to say, I'm extremely impressed with the work that you're doing. And I look forward to seeing future success as your efforts continue to grow. I'll definitely keep you in my contact list and we'll do some follow-up interviews, if you don't mind, as you continue to progress.
I would like that very much. And for you to hear the voice of our youth, the voice of our police, I invite anyone and everyone, especially your school administrators that are listening, to please stop by www.tapsacademy.org to see our programming. Visit the innovative class offerings that are on TEA's website to see our course called Teen Pole, and contact us at 832-525-1560 to allow us to have an opportunity to speak with you, your police chief, and others to allow this opportunity of students and youth youth and police coming together to better their relationship. Let's be a part of a solution and not simply be spectators watching the problem on our local news.
Well said, well said.
Making After School Cool.
Well, as always, I want to thank our listeners for joining us for this episode, where our topic focused on building positive relationships with police officers, youth, and communities. Please join us for future broadcasts as we continue to explore issues relevant to the out-of-school time field.